This is Matt Wells at UN News. Following a decade of political instability and conflict, Libyans are on the path to peace and the international community needs to do its part, which includes respecting an arms embargo, the top UN official there has said in an exclusive interview with our UN News Arabic team. Stephanie Williams, acting special representative of the Secretary General, commended the first round of political talks between the Government of National Accord and the Libyan National Army held last week in Tunisia. Ms. Williams spoke to Mai Yacoub about ongoing developments in Libya since the signing of a historic ceasefire agreed last month under the auspices of the UN mission in the country, UNSMIL, which she heads.
The ceasefire agreement itself was really greeted with great applause across Libya. Libyans were so relieved to see these military officers come together with a very great sense of national responsibility and to reach across the table, shake hands, and really for the sake of Libya, start to take steps to unify institutions, to ease the conditions for average Libyans, and to really pave the way for the resumption of the political process.
You have just concluded the first round of the Libyan Political Dialogue Forum. Are you happy with the result, and how are the preparations for the second round going?
Preparations for the second round are underway. I am very pleased with what happened here in Tunis last week. 75 participants came, they sat, they talked. It was for some of them really the first time that they have come together, you know, since the revolution, since 2011, over these long years of crisis and division. And they too came with a national responsibility and a desire for reconciliation and a desire to put the country on the right path, on the Libyan path, to restore Libyan decision-making and sovereignty. There were some very intensive days. They accomplished a lot. They decided that national elections should be held on December 4th, 2021, which marks the 70th anniversary of Libya's independence. So what better date for Libyans to come together to renew their institutions through credible, inclusive, and fair elections? They also agreed a national roadmap for a preparatory period leading up to elections. They agreed the prerogatives of a reformed presidency council and a separate premiership and unity government. And they also agreed the eligibility criteria for candidates to these positions. I am really pleased to say that, you know, of the 75 participants, the women's participants really stood out. They came together as a bloc fairly early on in the process, started working on a statement that they then issued, outlining really a series of principles and recommendations for improving women's participation in the political process and in governance. They demanded that women should account for no less than 30% of the leadership positions in the reformed executive authority. And that was also echoed in the roadmap, which was consensually agreed by the participants on the last day.
Ms. Williams, you just mentioned the election. What role will UNSMIL play in it? How would UNSMIL facilitate it?
So, of course, we support the Higher National Elections Commission, which is the national sovereign body in Libya that is charged with organizing elections. We also, you know, work directly with the authorities in the Government of National Accord to ensure that they support the HNEC through funding its operations. And I'm pleased to say that the Government of National Accord has announced that they will begin this much needed financing of the HNEC. So we will, stand with the Libyans, stand with the Elections Commission as they undertake the challenging work ahead to organize these much desired national elections.
You also spoke about women. What is UNSMIL doing to ensure the representation and participation of Libyan women in the election, but also in the political Libyan scene in general?
So we made sure that Libyan women were strongly represented in the political dialogue. They are also incorporated in the economic dialogue. And in terms of what we're doing, you know, we are facilitating gender sensitive, gender inclusive legislation, you know, to be taken up by the Libyan parliament. And that will, we believe, better enable access for women candidates to office and those who will no doubt be running in the parliament. You know, we also facilitate the local elections in Libya, the municipality elections, which have been continuing, which have taken place throughout conflict, COVID. Libyan women and men are determined to have the franchise to elect their representatives at all levels of government.
Ms. Williams, we all know the question of oil impacts the Libyan economy. You met on the 16th of November with the parties in Berga, where you launched a process to unify the Petroleum Facilities Guard and a new project, the Petroleum Protection Force. How would you describe the outcome of this meeting and how it, will it help the economy in the country?
So it was a historic meeting in a historic location. Brega is where oil first flowed in Libya in the 1960s. And so it was the National Oil Corporation chairman deliberately selected Brega for this meeting. Since the oil blockade was lifted, since force majeure was lifted on all of Libya's oil installations, thanks to work particularly in the joint military talks, intra-Libyan negotiations, and the confidence-building measures that we were with the Libyans able to realize, you know, this is Libya as well. I mean, the Libyans depend almost entirely on oil revenues for their economy. And so bringing this oil back online is incredibly important to help the Libyan economy recover, but also to end the terrible electricity shortages that were crippling the country this summer. And you can imagine this is even more dire when you're in the midst of a global pandemic. Now, the project to unify the Petroleum Facilities Guard is a major project. You know, we got these two commanders from the East and West together. The National Oil Corporation has a proposal for the establishment of a Petroleum Protection Force. The commanders described really the circumstances under which they are operating now, the size of their forces, and the fact that they are in contact, which is good. You know, this project to unify all Libyan institutions is really quite critical. Specifically, though, in this meeting, it was agreed that a pilot project would be launched for this newly or to be constituted Petroleum Protection Force that would deploy at an oil installation that will be up and running sometime in the new year, I think towards the latter or the second half of the year.
From your interaction with the Libyan leaders, especially during the last 2 months, how strong is the political will to take those achievements to the next level?
Okay. So everyone's so excited. And, you know, I think it is unrealistic to expect that you're going to solve all of Libya's problems in 1 week of political talks. What happened here in Tunis was a significant achievement. The ceasefire agreement, the readiness of the Libyans to come together is a very good sign. The momentum is there. They've had 10 years and even longer of uncertainty, unrest, oppression, conflict, socioeconomic deterioration, human rights abuses. So they're on the path now. They're talking to each other. There are people in the country, and there are, you know, what we call the status quo actors, people who are resistant to change. But the voice of the people now is very clear. They want the elections and they want their institutions to be unified. You know, we in the international community, we should accompany the Libyans on this journey and we should support them and we should respect their requests.
You just mentioned some of the challenge that the Libyans are trying to overcome. Some of the challenge as well that you are facing is the foreign interference and attempts to fail the Libyan dialogue. How would you assess those? And what would you ask from the international community in this regard in order to push the peace process forward?
Well, look, you know, on the military side, they have to abide by the arms embargo. So, yes, there is calm on the ground. Yes, the Libyans are working through the details of the ceasefire agreement. And, you know, they had a meeting in Sirte last week where they established the headquarters for the Joint Military Commission, and they announced plans to, you know, reopen the coastal road between Misrata and Sirte. And, you know, this is very important for average Libyans. This is how they get around the country. This is how they visit their relatives in the east or in the west, and they prefer to take the coastal road. And it's the route on which, you know, goods are delivered. It's a vital lifeline in the country. In order for the parties to be able to do their part in moving military elements out of that area, foreign elements must also depart. All of this is in the context of respecting the arms embargo, not sending more military, you know, equipment and weapons into the country. You know, the Libyans have done their part, and the international community now needs to do its part.